Hello, and welcome to Anime Audio Commentary. Today I'll be commenting on episode 3 of Konosuba. If you'd like to watch along, then start watching now. Now last we left off, we were introduced to Darkness, but only now are we really learning about her, you know. As with the pattern before, she is a Crusader, which is a very significant class, but you know, as always, there has to be a catch, right? You know, I think it's more telling than anything that Darkness is interested in why Aqua and Megumin were covered in slime. You know, that's something that should be a red flag. You know, she's saying she can't overlook something like that, but mainly because she wants to get in on the action. Poor Kazuma. Like, at this point, he understands that things will only get worse, but I feel like he's making the mistake of trying to reason, you know? He should just flat out say no. I mean, I think the big mistake here is by saying, you know, all of the other party members are crap outs too. He's sort of making her feel at home. Because, despite being rather hardy and all that, she is unable to hit anything. And, you know, it's really makes me think, you know, because it can't be too hard to whack something with a sword, you know. But, I guess it's sort of like a holdover from, like, RPG mechanics, you know, accuracy ratings and all that. Man, that was a priceless expression right there. Just the look of realization as he fully understands what Darkness is. So as things stand, Kazuma's in a pretty rotten position, all told. You know, having now 3 almost entirely useless party members. And if that weren't enough, Aqua is showing off her one and only use. You know, these stupid party tricks that she thought were so important. I mean, sure, I guess it's good for entertaining a crowd, but, something tells me a monster would not be interested in watching a party trick and would instead, you know, disembowel or maul its target. So I guess this brings up the topic of skills, and this is generally something I don't like, mainly because it's a holdover from video games and things like that. You know, sure, you need someone to teach you a skill, but it's not something where they teach it to you and you automatically learn it and spend points on it. Skills are things you have to learn and practice and refine. So, you know, it would make sense that Kazuma could learn a bunch of skills, provided he has somebody to teach him and he were able to practice, you know. I mean, if nothing else, Megan was briefly interested in that he could learn explosion magic too, in theory. Yeah, you know, I guess she's kind of sensitive about her stature. Maybe Cosmo was a bit too glib about addressing her. I mean, it couldn't really hurt if he gets all these ridiculous party members of his to settle down. Unfortunately, I think Cosmo's taking entirely the wrong approach here. You know, Darkness is in this sort of weird superposition where turning her down gently won't work because she's too dense, and turning her down harshly will just attract her attention. I don't know. I don't know what the right approach here is, but it seems like Cosmo's just in a catch-22. So now we have the character of Chris, who, as opposed to the others, is a thief or a rogue, which I think contrasts rather nicely with the Crusader, the Archmage, and the Archpriest. And incidentally, you know, this is beneficial to Kazuma. If he were to become a thief or a rogue or a general sort of jack-of-all-trades type class, you know, then he would be able to fill out what would otherwise be a decently balanced party were it not for all the interesting people he's collected, for want of a better term. So that's a nifty little technique right there, steal. You know, again, it kind of reeks of video gaminess, because a real thief would just, you know, pick the pocket, you know, use stealth and misdirection. Although I guess this is a bit of an interesting proposal, you know, you can learn the skill, and once you do, you can steal your coin purse back. But, you know, there's a catch here for certain. Chris being a thief is no doubt cunning. And I feel like Cosmo isn't quite grasping the subtleties of the skill here. So I guess, it's nice enough that Cosmo has now acquired skills, but the method of doing it, I find distasteful. I mean, at least he has the presence of mind not to take that party trick skill. If anything, you know, I feel like it would make him dumber. Now, this is something I do like. You know, this scene almost reminds me of the original Spider-Man movie, you know, when Peter Parker got bit by the spider and it was shown, you know, rearranging his DNA. You know, I wouldn't think that skills go quite that deep, but I like the visual of it. So only now is Cosmo quite aware of what's going on here. You know, if he's lucky, he could nab a nice dagger or his coin purse back. If he's unlucky, he'll just get a bunch of rocks that are worth nothing. You know, it is kind of telling that this wasn't disclosed up front, but I guess that sort of informs us about what sort of world this is. So whether it's fortunate or not, Cosmo has obtained some form of treasure. And in effect, you know, he might have actually gained, like, the leverage to get all his stuff back. You know, it's kind of interesting that Chris didn't realize this sort of thing would be on the table. Because, you know, there is some mention of inventory. And I guess this has the added negative of cementing Darkness's desire to hang around. You know, just in case something like that could happen to her, no doubt she would enjoy it. Yeah, you know, I think Darkness is editorializing a little bit. I mean, everybody... I think they're making things sound worse deliberately. I mean, I have no doubt that Kazma said some of the stuff he's being accused of, but... he probably said it more in jest than anything else. Now, I guess the interesting thing here is that the way the steel skill works is that it takes, you know, anything from a person's inventory. Which, no doubt, could come in handy were he to use it on a proper target rather than passers-by or his party mates. I guess, this is rather unfortunate for Megumin considering her normal outfit. You know, it's not exactly long in covering. You know, I guess that is a good point, too. Kazuma's a little confused because what he steals should be random, but it's also based on luck. So I'm wondering if maybe because he is so lucky he can effectively steal what he wants. Or, I guess, what he really wants, you know. If it's a sort of subconscious thing. Yeah, I think Kazuma's making the mistake of actually, like, getting the opinions of the others, you know, like, man, if Darkness is a crusader, then there's no way we can turn her down, but... You know, this is coming from Megumin and Aqua. Alright, so he's trying in earnest to steer her away again by saying, we're gonna go fight the Demon King. You know, the idea being that this is a sort of thing that could end very horribly for all involved, but... he should know by now that this sort of thing won't dissuade Darkness, and in fact, it might actually, intrigue her further. One would think he would have learned by now to, take a different approach. I mean, I guess at least he's, smart enough to attempt to make hay while the sun shines by dissuading Megumin, but... I mean, she's slightly harder to read, I guess. I mean, I guess, you know, there was a reasonable chance this could go well for Kazuma, but, you know, seeing as how the Demon King's big and strong and he's ripe to be blown up, you know, can't exactly dissuade Megumin. You know, it's interesting that only Aqua is really dissuaded by what he's talking about. So this is something interesting, you know. A public address system like this, that strikes me as a bit too advanced for medieval society. And I can kind of understand why it was included, just so there's a method of addressing everybody for narrative reasons. But I feel like it's more of a detriment than anything else. So on the one hand, it's rather remarkable how many adventurers there are in this town, but on the other hand, if this is like a starting area, none of them can be all that good, can they? So everybody's taking this rather seriously, even though it's basically just, harvesting sapient cabbage. I mean, I could understand in theory how there might be, like, a minimal chance of danger, but, I feel like everybody is taking it a bit too seriously. I guess it is kind of interesting in a sense that this sort of fantasy cabbage wouldn't consent to just sitting back and being eaten, you know. They want to fight back and survive. Although, that said, you know, cabbage, I wouldn't even consider it a particularly dangerous vegetable as vegetables go. So I guess that's interesting in a sense that an individual cabbage goes for twice as much as a giant toad. You know, I feel like Cosma, he would be willing to get in on this just to make all the money he can. You know, seeing as how compared to something like a giant toad, like what's a cabbage gonna do to you? So I guess Darkness declaring her inability was one thing, but now that we actually get to see it in person, against cabbages no less, you know, this really drives home just what sort of competency she's bringing to the table. And I guess it works from both ends, because, you know, these cabbages are bludgeoning people, but while others are knocked down and battered by it, she's able to take a cabbage right to the chin. I guess it's kind of impressive in a rather bizarre sense. I mean, especially seeing as how the cabbage seems to be rather vicious. You know, in truth, I don't think a cabbage of any variety should be able to do something like this. You know, I mean, like, what realistically is the ratio of strength between cabbage and metal armor, you know? A cabbage can't be that tough. But, you know, if there's one thing more ironclad than her armor, it's Darkness's desire to be watched in this sort of exhibitionist display. I guess the worst part about all this is that she thinks, or rather everyone thinks, she's being altruistic. I mean, really, nothing could be further from the truth. I guess this is another reason why nobody really likes Megumin either. I mean, she's ready to just drop a big explosion even though there are all sorts of other people around. I do think it's kind of interesting that her little chant or preamble to the spell changes every time, you know, as if it doesn't really matter and she just wants to do it to be cool. Yeah, you know, I think all these people were a little too close to the conflagration for Megumin to be able to do that safely. I mean, sure, it roasts the cabbage, but I'd be a little bit more concerned about the people. And I guess this is also the other downside. If you've butchered a bunch of cabbage, then cabbage is on the menu. You know, cabbage is okay and little bits and in certain places, but all cabbage all the time. That sounds like a punishment. Wow, I feel like Megumin's just lying. You know, Aqua's party trick raising morale. I think that's an exceedingly generous interpretation of events. I mean, I guess there is something to say that water conjured by a goddess would be pure and of high quality, but come on. So I guess despite Cosmo's best efforts to rid himself of all these interesting people, it seems like the whole cabbage event is really sort of adhered them to each other. You know, there's no getting rid of them now. They're a team at this point. You know, you can't help but feel bad for the guy to some degree. He didn't ask for this, but on the other hand, I don't think he did quite enough to avoid this fate either. So I guess Aqua's very sanguine about everything, you know, they have a great team by her standards, but, what was said about her intelligence? Below human? You know, I think letting Aqua interpret things is a recipe for disaster. Yeah, it's unfortunate, but Cosmo is the only sane person in this party, and I feel like he's really going to have to drag them into doing anything sensible. I guess it's an interesting dynamic, if nothing else, you know, one sane guy having to attend to a bunch of idiots. Alright, well that's it for this episode. If you've enjoyed it, then by all means, tune in for the next one. See you, Space Cowboy.